Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Day. Same damn thing.
Yeah.
I use my headphones.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Nothing. I imagine all like three of our fans for this show that watch us every video and just see the absolute amateurness of our like startup process.
I know, because I've been researching like how to use OBS well and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, like I don't know anything.
It's tedious, but God, is it amazing once you get
it set up.
It
looks like it, yeah, because I was playing around with kind of just doing basic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like as I was doing it, like doing like box in box and like how I have two different cameras, one on my laptop and just mm-hmm. the one I actually use, I just started like doing like multiple stuff. I was like, ooh, this is actually be pretty cool.
It can be. I did a test of a watch me, you know, edit a reaction video, and I've got two webcams and my main cam right here, and I could set it up basically so there was a camera looking at me and then a camera pointed down at my hands, so whenever I was, you know, typing or moving things on the mouse, you could see all of that. It's very tedious, but once you get it set up, make sure you create a backup folder of your scenes. And that's save it, like save it on a thumb drive or something, just in case something happens to your build. As long as you've got all of the original source images that you used and those scenes backed up, then you can plug it right back in. So I did that when I redid. We'll see how this show goes, but screw it. Hello everybody, welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network. Anywhere you get your podcast from, well, most places you get your podcast from, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Amazon, yada yada. I'm Kyle, that's Manny, and welcome to it's hump day, guys. It's Wednesday. Hey Mike, what day is it? That was a funny commercial. You know what I've realized, kind of weird intro topic. Because I watch our local TV station for either sports or news, Jeopardy. I love me some Jeopardy. But I see a lot of commercials still. And there was a time a few years ago where I didn't really watch the local channel as much. Commercials aren't as funny as they used to be. Like,
nah, you're just old, man.
Well, no, I'm not saying that there's not funny ones out there. They just don't seem to be trying to make as funny ones as they used to. You've got like your Progressive, which skewed towards the funny. You've got
the Geico ones are pretty good.
What's that one?
The Geico ones are usually pretty good.
Geico is good as well. So you've got some insurance companies, and then you've got there's one car company, I can't remember who it was, but they'll pretend it's a type of movie, like an action flick or a romance film, and it's like, but this is really a such and such car ad. That's kind of funny. But I remember there being so much more, and Christine and I have actually gone back and watched, people have compiled compilations of like 90s commercials, 80s commercials, to 2000s commercials, and man, did things used to be really, really different back in the day.
No, yeah, I've noticed that also during the Super Bowl, like they're not as good as they used to be.
Oh yeah, do you remember that time E-Trade just put like a monkey dancing around in someone's driveway, and they're like, yeah, we spent $2 million on this. Make better choices. Go to E-Trade or something like something like that. I don't know. We bitch and moan and complain about commercials so much that we have ruined Hollywood to try to get rid of TV commercials via streaming
which
services,
are now putting back commercials in.
Which are now coming right back
full
on.
Circle.
But not only that, but we actually discuss how we miss some commercials.
I don't like commercials, period. So I'm not going to share the sentiment of missing commercials.
You didn't even like the caveman.
I'm not saying that some commercials weren't good. Oh. I'm just saying I just want to get back to my show.
Oh, yeah. Well, get ready for not only more commercials on your streaming services, but get ready for more in-game ads where there's less fake billboards in Grand Theft Auto 6 and more actual billboards for McDonald's and and whatever else.
Yeah.
You know, instead of a fake funny named to poke fun at super rich people perfumes, it'll be actual, you know, what's a perfume company? I don't know them anymore. It'll be the latest Taylor Swift perfume, whatever. There you go.
I remember Crazy Taxi had actual places. I don't know if you remember that game on Dreamcast.
Mm-hmm.
A Crazy Taxi.
I know of it.
Okay, well, it actually the locations you would drop people off were real. It was like Tower Records, KFC, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So it's been done before, but.
Yeah, and you even get certain like sports advertisers that will get advertisement in the games.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see it in Madden or NHL. But the idea of it kind of taking over everything, the idea of more, I start thinking about that scene in Ready Player One where he's like, you know, once we can take over the Oasis and change some of the rules, we figure we can fill up 70% of a player's field of view without inducing seizures. It's like, oh my god, you know there's people in advertising at Meta, Facebook, at Alphabet, Google, and at Apple right now that are like, how much of their field of view can we cover without inducing seizures?
It's true, man.
Oh man, what a world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have been great like Tech Tuesday conversation, but have you ever thought about how some of the sci-fi tech that we have today that came from like science fiction ideas of yesterday, how some of them might not necessarily be the best for us, but that we just keep trying to invent shit we read about decades ago. Like that is all, you know, either read about or saw on TV, on film.
Mm-hmm.
That is all we are trying to do is get to where we have a holodeck from Star Trek. We have lightsabers from Star Wars. We have we already have touch screens, you know, Star Trek data pads and whatnot. It's you know, hologram technology. We went to the moon. Why? I mean, why not? Jules Verne wrote about it. Seems like a good idea. It's weird that march to progress has taken kind of this weird turn where it's not just to make our lives better, make them safer, but it feels sometimes just to make ourselves cooler.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, man. Weird. All right, that's it. I'm spent. What do you got, Manny?
I got one for you. Rian Johnson, the director for Knives Out, or Glass Onion, Knives Out Story, says that Dave Bautista is the greatest wrestler turned actor.
Oh, really? Why? How do you feel about that?
He said, when I was writing his character, when I was writing and talking about his character, Duke, I was picturing a scrawny dude who's trying to overcompensate. When Bautista was brought up, I was instantly so smitten by the idea. I've been a big fan of his dramatic chops as an actor. And then talking of this is from The Atlantic, by the way, in an interview they had with him. He said, when talking about him being the greatest wrestler to actor, I 100%, absolutely 100% agree. I think somebody like him is going to give a real part and is going to look like a genius as a person. Batista is genuinely immediately vulnerable when you meet him, and that's what I was excited about. This is someone who has physical trappings of someone who would play it big, but he actually brings sensitivity to the role.
I mean, I don't disagree with what he likes about Batista. I would say so far, he's had a chance to kind of
I don't think he's had enough really.
No, he hasn't had enough
to really.
He has not had enough different roles, but he has had the opportunity to stretch more than, say, Hulk Hogan got.
Yeah, Hogan Hogan was hired to play Hogan.
Right, exactly.
In the same vein of The Rock, actually.
When he was early on, The Rock did indeed get that same bit. But that's what I'm saying about Batista, is he's actually, Dave has taken the opportunity, or sought the opportunity, to get roles that might, yes, require the big muscle guy, but it's the big muscle guy plus yeah, something, mm-hmm, you know? But I wouldn't call him the greatest. I wouldn't even necessarily call him the most talented, and that's not saying that he's not great or not talented. I don't know, man. When you really think about greatest, you kind of have to look at a combination of their talent, their impact, and kind of like their, I guess, box office take, and whether for better or worse, whether one likes it or not, those all kind of go towards The Rock.
Well, the thing about the Rock, though, is that we're literally watching him play The Rock every time.
Yeah, but it's working. Working better, and he
didn't work for Black Adam.
No, it didn't work for Black. It didn't work for Black Adam. But he's been able to move on from the Scorpion King type stuff, you know. Where yeah, he's. I mean, Tom Cruise does the same thing. Everything
we watch
just about Keanu
Reeves is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Rogan,
yeah. Same damn thing.
You don't like Seth Rogen? Is that what you're saying?
I hate that guy. Oh my God. He's got some very funny things. I love Zach and Miri Make a Porno is a great movie.
You don't like him laughing? His laugh is, well, his laugh is one of the
No. There's the guy is the guy's a douche. He really is. He's an entitled, in my personal opinion, he's an entitled douche from things that he's published and posted online, and very, very out of touch. And he's funny. I don't care to see him on camera that often, but when he's not in person, he's capable of being funny.
I think Batista he's up there, you know, because of Guardians, although mm-hmm. he's kind of playing, but you know, it still takes work to play a buffoon, and to be able to stay in character and kind of and do that. I know, but you know, we've seen him in a Bond film, heist film. Jeez. We've seen him in Glass Onion. So he's had a few roles, but I just don't know if there's enough out there. I'll tell you what, though, you know who has who has a chance to be better than The Rock as far as just maybe ability.
Don't say Cena.
I'm gonna say John Cena. Dude, his role,
Mr. Apologize. I'm so sorry, China, for calling Taiwan a country, which it is.
Oh my God, dude! Like that.
That was so pathetic, though. Yeah, man. The way it went down was so sad.
You know, that's a studio thing.
I don't care. It was like he could have even worded it better. It literally sounded like begging, and I'm no, that was sad. Anyway. But yes, he's got some talent. Peacemaker and was a great series.
Especially like he's done that. Like I don't really care for Amy Schumer. But he did that comedy with her. He's done a very a couple of very stiff roles, like in in Transformers. Mm-hmm. And then
he was in Transformers.
Yeah, he was like the general guy or whatever in Bumblebee. Sorry, Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Do I remember that one?
Bumblebee was one of the better ones.
No, I don't remember him in it. That's what I'm saying. Like,
and then I think he played the original Marine.
Was when he was doing like the Hulk Hogan type movies.
Yeah, and then I don't know. I've just thought that especially what he did with Peacemaker, he was able to kind of expand his range a bit. And
dude, the piano thing, great. His ability to like shift mode in from the high intensity. You know, if there were 1,000 dicks here on the beach to where he has these real moments and these real quiet moments, and he's trying to deal with his daddy issues and shit like that. Like he showed he had some skill. If not, maybe he's always just needed the right director to help out with it, and James Gunn managed to unlock that. Whatever the case was, it turned out really, really well.
I think for both Batista and Cena though, they need a lot. They need a wider scope of work to really see it. Like, are you even on the same level as The Rock? Because like, you know, it's just like you're saying, Sam Jackson, Keanu Reeves, a couple of these other guys,
Tom Cruise.
They're the same guy in every movie, but we love them for it.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis too. And
I like Bruce.
We love them for it. And everybody, they're type actors. Mm. That's cool. That's fine. No problem. No problem at all. But to say that he's the best already, I don't know, man.
I don't know either. It's The one bad thing about it, and people might not like this at all, but physical appearance matters in casting. Yes, there's a lot of roles that anyone can play, you know, from being super muscular to being super skinny to being average to overweight. There are a lot of roles like that. However, there are some roles, especially when you start looking at anything that deals with historical characters, period pieces and things like that, where John Cena, unless he's willing to lose a lot of muscle mass, which will bring on other situations with his body, he's not going to ever really be able to be cast for. They wouldn't fit. You know, you're not going to see John Cena, the you know, 18th century literary guy. You know what I'm saying? It's it's kind of one of those weird things where it would take most people out. So that's one kind of sucky thing, given what their profession is. But the good thing is, and it's not just superhero stuff. The good thing is we are in a modern age where athletes and bodybuilders and rugged jobs on oil rigs and stuff like that all exist, and you've got big muscular dudes in all these roles in real life, that there are going to be some opportunities out there for them to stretch their acting legs a bit. So best of luck to them. Ryan Johnson, he himself is such a weird director. There's things I like, Knives Out, then there's things I absolutely despise, most of The Last Jedi, and most likely not for the same reasons as a lot of people. I can rip that movie apart without even touching Luke Skywalker, even though there's issues with him too. But Yeah, man. They need to work with some other good directors and make sure their agents are reaching out for some of these things. I'm curious as to Dave's role in Knock at the Cabin.
Yeah, yeah. because he's gonna be working working there with Shyamalan. So that will definitely be we'll see a little bit more there, because that's all an entirely different genre.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, it still needs that kind of that bigger guy.
Yeah. Well, you gotta, if you're gonna be holding hostages, it makes sense to have a muscle man.
The whole concept of that movie is so weird. I'm very excited. I like watching those kinds of movies. I will say that I Signs is one of my favorite movies,
mm-hmm.
but The Village, I remember going, this is stupid. And my girlfriend and I fight about that all the time because she thinks The Village is really good.
She likes The Village.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think by that point I was so done with his like stupid twists. and that one was a little much for me, and I was like, oh,
I liked the first time I saw The Village, I liked it well enough. I didn't think it was great. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, Unbreakable is better, Sixth Sense is better, Signs is better, but this isn't awful. And then I watched it a second time, and that's when I was like, yeah, no, this is not a good movie. And then of course you had Split, which was a lot of fun. That was good. But then Glass kind of screwed the pooch, man. It missed the mark by a long shot, by a mile. I didn't see Old. Did you
yeah,
see Old?
I saw Old. Yeah,
what'd you think of that one?
It was okay. It's okay. Like it was good. Like it wasn't bad. It wasn't the greatest either, but we enjoyed it. We got to watch it. We actually went to LA to watch that one.
Hmm.
It was the theater we were in actually helped it a lot, because there was a lot of it was a Dolby Atmos room, so it added a lot to the environment. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how this one is. Is this one you want to try to go see in theaters?
I try to see everything in theaters, so, because I don't watch movies just because something's my favorite. I watch movies because I love the medium, and I respect the, you know, creative teams that put it together. So whether it's good or bad, I want to give it a shot anyway.
Yep.
Even Sony movies.
Dude, you're not, I'm not like you. Someone I trust, and I mean like I really trust, like I'm almost willing to put my life in their hands, has to come to me this upcoming year and say, Kyle, Madam Web is a must see. if you miss this movie, you will regret it. And I mean, I have to trust them to know that they're not just, you know, screwing with me. Because that's something I'm not seeing. Same with Craven. I don't care. Nick, you hear me? You can find someone else. I'm not. Screw Sony. No, I'm not supporting them.
There you are. You got shows to make. You got shows
Sony
to make.
Computer Entertainment or Interactive or whatever it is these days. That's it.
Yeah, you got shows to make though. So get out there and watch the damn movie.
Do you want to see Madam Web at all? Like if you don't have to, would you?
I'm watching everything.
Oh God. Do you hate yourself? I hate myself.
I love the medium. Sometimes the expression is you gotta experience rainy days to enjoy the sunny days. Which is not actually.
We just had phase four. That was plenty of rainy days.
Which is not saying much, because I love rainy days, because in California we don't get enough water, and the smell of you know, the atmosphere during after rain is nice at times when everything's just accidents aren't fun, but you know, I like rainy days too. So I you know, sometimes you're gonna get some of these movies that surprise you, and I think I enjoy that. Or sometimes you go to very excited into movies and then you end up going, wow, it's a piece of crap. And you know, you're not very happy. So like, for example, Spirited, you don't like this kind of movie because you're not cultured enough for musicals. Spirited was like surprisingly good. Like we were like, we just needed a movie to watch, like a Christmas movie to watch, mm-hmm. on the 24th. And we're like, all right, this is Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds, like whatever, Christmas Carol, like whatever, like let's watch this. It seems to be pretty like decent enough. And then it was like, holy crap, this is actually pretty good. So that was
looked like Scrooged, but a musical, modern
kind of
Christmas,
yeah.
Carol. With some business or rich guy or some asshole in charge, and then musical. Is that, yeah, that what it is?
It kind of worked. Yeah, and it worked. Yeah. It worked pretty well.
I got Bill Murray's Scrooged. I'm good.
No, for a Christmas movie, I recommended it. Put it in my mouse. Anyway, my mouse stopped working.
Oh.
Anyway, I probably just need to turn it off and off. So, point being, also Roald Dahl's Matilda on Netflix, freaking fantastic, dude. Also a musical, you wouldn't enjoy it, but hell, what do you know? You like anime.
Woke up choosing super good too. Today, huh?
Well, I mean, you like shit on musicals all the time, so.
Who just stops to burst out into song? And some of the songs are stupid.
Well, the thing also is about Inspirited, they make fun of that as well. Because they'll like be talking and it's like, this isn't gonna lead into a song, is it?
Self-aware.
Or they'll start, yeah. There's one part where Will Ferrell starts singing and his boss is like, no, 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 hold on, no, wait, we don't need it. I get it. We don't need the song. And then
anyways, go ahead. My moment for my joke. Fast.
Oh, okay. Maybe it just wasn't that good. Hey, kitty.
Probably not. So
my girlfriend's out of town, so the cat's like, hey, are you gonna feed us or what? And the answer is yes, I am going to feed you. Okay, so the next thing I had was a couple of things about The Last of Us, which, by the way, I just finished the second game for the first time.
Okay.
What'd
you think of it?
It was long, dude. Like, I kept thinking it was gonna end, and it just kept going. I enjoyed it very much. It makes me sad because I gotta find another game like it. And so I immediately afterwards, like an hour, like the next, not immediately afterwards, like the next day, started playing the new Modern Warfare, which I bought and didn't start playing because every time I tried to play it, it was like, you need to update this. You also need to, and it just upset me. Because back in my day, I used to just put the cartridge in and it used to fucking start. About that. And now it's like update, download this. It's like, why do I even have a disc for?
It takes like, There, I forget which game it was, but, someone had shown that the physical copy of a game, which is on a Blu-ray disc, all your games these days come on Blu-ray discs, 50 gigabyte storage capacity on that, and there was like 4 gigs of data on the disc, and you had to download like 100 gigabyte freaking
file
to play it.
Anyway,
wow.
Point being, The Last of Us, I'm very excited. Comes out in January on HBO Max, or just HBO, actually, or whatever. I don't know who's running the asylum. It premieres on Sunday, January 15th. Very excited. The first episode, 1 hour, 25 minutes.
Oof. That's a long episode. Freaking Stranger Things 4 stuff going on right there.
that caught me off guard. apparently it's just like, it's that long because it's going to set up, at least to set up what it needs to set up. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm not gonna go into exactly what it is, because I'd rather you enjoy it, because I enjoyed it very much in the video game. And it should set up what should be a I hope is a good series, because While they're not going to, stick directly to the game, it's supposed to be very, very faithful to what we know as The Last of Us,
right?
What do you think? Do you think that's too long, or do you think story matters? And if the creative says, I want this time for this episode, they went, sure.
Here's what I think they should have done. Just as from like a kind of marketing point of view, we've been talking about how many Marvel shows did well by releasing two or three episodes, may have done not so well by not releasing three and only doing two. I feel as long as they need the time to get it, to make it feel like a really good start, great, but maybe pawn it off, depending on how long your other episodes are, maybe pawn it off as two episodes releasing at once. It plays on the idea of, hey, we're giving you an extra treat, one, and two, it makes sure that you have that opportunity to avoid what some of the Marvel and Star Wars shows have felt like, where it's like, okay, this would have been great if you'd given us one more episode this week. So I mean, an hour and 25 minutes is that's not too bad. That's five episodes of anime, sort of. So yeah, and I can watch five episodes of anime in a sitting.
I can't watch five episodes of anime in any sitting. I think it's fine the way. I think it's nice to see that it's like, oh, we're probably gonna get I don't know, some we'll see if it works. We'll see, yeah. if it really needed that kind of time. But I think that breaking it up may not work if you're gonna like distract, if you're gonna take people out of a certain sequence of events because you're gonna need to run the credits again.
That's true too.
In that sense, but we'll see how it works. But I do appreciate them giving them the time to that they needed or wanted for whatever sequence of events that supposedly is going to be, I guess, it's going to be the foundation of the series, especially for those who are fans of the game. That'll be good. And then I think
come at a better time. Walking Dead ended this year or isn't,
we need
this
a new
year,
kind of
whatever.
Zombies.
You need a,
it's never
need
gonna
a new
end.
Zombie thing.
Now they're going to have spin-offs and everything. and whatever. And with that said, the one thing that does concern me is that there's been a couple of interviews with Neil Druckmann that said that the reason why Sam Raimi's Last of Us movie didn't go forward was because he wanted to make a kind of No Country for Old Men kind of style of film. And the executives wanted a particular kind of movie, something that was bigger and sexier. And the fact that they used the word sexier concerns me.
Yeah.
And wanting it to be more like World War Z, which also concerns me.
Wow.
And this is via The New Yorker. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I know now we're making a show and this is a whole different world than when Raimi was making his. But still, I'm kind of concerned. Like, to think that, that's the reason why Raimi's movie stalled was because they were... I don't know, The Last of Us should never include the word sexier.
No,
that's really all I'm saying.
I mean, what do they mean by that? You know, adding in some additional female tagalongs or something like that. I mean, some more shirtless men in a zombie area where, you know, clothing and armor might kind of be important. What do they mean by that?
I don't know. That's concerning. But you know.
Yeah, we'll see how it shakes loose. Video game adaptations are tough. We're still looking for It's funny because for years we kept saying, you know, try series, a streaming series, try it. It's better than a movie. And then all of a sudden Detective Pikachu hits, Sonic the Hedgehog hits, and it's like, oh my God, these movies are good. And and then they release a few video game adaptation shows like Halo and Resident Evil. And there's been another one I can't remember recently, right? I think so. Anyways, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, okay, well, wait, maybe you can't do this as a series. Go back to movies. I don't know. It's all in the actual execution. And it's all in also what the studio allows and what they don't allow. The Witcher, which I know is video game adjacent, the series is based on the books, not the games. But that being said, the Blood Origin series has just gotten railed on Rotten Tomatoes and other grading websites. This four episode spinoff of The Witcher on Netflix has gotten a 33% from the critics and a whole 10% from the audience. For once, they're in agreement. It is so rare for them to agree like this. Usually if the critic score is super low, the audience score is really high, and vice versa happens too. But you gotta find a way to stay true to what the source material is, regardless of whether or not that particular story allows any self-insertion or allows any contemporary commentary, because not everything is an arena for contemporary commentary. A lot of things are, but not everything is. And if you try to do too much that's not with the source material, that doesn't fit into the world that the game exists in, or the book or comic, then you risk pissing off the already established fan base that's already there to try and do what?
Yeah.
You know, what are you trying? So is gaining two or three, you know, fans out of 1,000 in some demographic, age, gender, whatever, is any of that worth potentially pissing off the source material fans by changing something that is core, or adding something that detracts, or trying to, you know, make a statement in something that is not meant to have statements? And I'm not saying any one particular thing for any one particular franchise, because it's all nuanced. It's all case by case. You can't say everything done with a diverse cast is quote unquote woke or is bullshit, because it's not. And no more than you can say keeping something more true to source material based on its history or setting is somehow wrong because it didn't do more to include X, Y, or Z. It didn't provide an arc where you get to talk about Orange Man Bad or something.
Yeah,
I love how many things from the last 5 or 6 years are gonna age so well, because that guy is gone. Thankfully, my personal opinion, thank goodness he's gone. But he made all these jokes and things at it, and it was just this one really awful 4 year period. But it's. You gotta figure out that balance, and that's part of the problem in Hollywood right now, is it doesn't seem like they have that balance.
Nah, it's a very interesting world right now in Hollywood, where they're trying to figure out how to make movies. How Babylon costed what? 80?
40, 50, I thought.
No,
was it 80?
No, it costed way more than that.
Well, I mean, did they use actual cocaine? 78 yeah, to 80 million. But
80 million. Yeah. And it,
I mean, if they were using actual cocaine, but you know, buying that for the cocaine, there are cocaine scenes in there. I'm guessing,
maybe, you know, it's over a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, I heard.
And no, I was like, you. Why? So I don't know. It's they're trying, you know, they got to figure things out. And I think they will, but.
Is that what Hollywood really needs right now? Is a film about their fracked up hobbits hobbies?
I mean, like if it's a good movie, yeah, I guess it works well. But I guess
I'm just saying, like they're not, you know, Hollywood's been on people's kind of shit list for their perversions, debauchery, and things like that in recent days. So it was just kind of a joke on. Do you really want to show Hollywood's been messed up since the beginning right now?
But anyways. Yeah, it's just you just have to find the right angle for storytelling, I think, and we'll see. I don't know. Well, it's I'm excited for 2023 for that reason, and that's going to be topic for another day.
Yeah, hopefully everything goes well, guys. Tomorrow, Manny and I will take a look back at well, no, you know what? Do you want to do because Monday, or are we doing the show on Monday? Tuesday the 2nd, are we doing the show, Manny?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, well, why don't we do this? Friday will be our year-end review. We'll talk about the stuff that we liked, didn't like, all that for 2022, and then coming in on our first episode of the new year, we will discuss everything we're looking forward to in the new year, in addition to box office numbers, because that's what we do on Mondays. You guys can check out all sorts of news stories, celebrity interviews, written reviews, and more over at lrmonline.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. A lot of really great content. Star Wars, anime, Daily Cog, of course, Breaking Geek Radio, Marvel stuff, all up there. If it's not a reaction video, the podcast and news stuff, interview stuff, get audio format. Excuse me. Go up on all of your favorite podcast apps. We just finished Chainsaw Man episode 12 on ABR. Check that out if you are into anime. Chainsaw Man is great. Felt like Tony the Tiger there trying to get that great out.
Yeah. All right.
Anything else, Manny?
No. We're all right, all right,
guys. We'll see you later. Bye.
Because we're pros.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.